Sean, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I appreciate your time.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
So this is a biennial conference, and it's one that I look forward to each year. But this year is probably a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a wild ride this year with this conference.
Why don't you tell us about what you have planned and how things will be different because of the COVID restrictions?
Sure. Yeah, so we're talking about the 2021 conference, which wasn't supposed to exist. The conference was originally scheduled for April of 2020, and we were scheduled to have a face-to-face conference basically, I think it's only a couple weeks after sort of the initial shutdown and restrictions on gatherings and all those things. So we initially just canceled the conference because there wasn't enough time to figure out how to do it differently or switch it to a virtual format. And then eventually ended up, we decided to sort of postpone and reschedule. Again, still thinking that maybe we would still be able to have a face-to-face conference if we just waited.
Right.
And in the end, you know, we realized that that wasn't going to be possible. So we gave in and decided, okay, we have to figure out how to do a virtual conference, which none of us have really done before. So that is one of the biggest changes. This conference, the 2021 conference, is entirely virtual, so folks can see all of the presentations from their devices, and there's a mix of presentations that have been pre-recorded, so you can go onto the website, read a little blurb about some of the presentations, and then if you're interested, you can click and watch the YouTube video of that presentation right at that moment, whenever it's convenient for you. And there are also a lot of presentations next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that are live on Zoom. So those are ones where you would need to go and at the specific time and log into the Zoom call. And then you can see the presentations live and interact live with the presenter. So the folks who are talking about their work or their art or their activism. You can, of course, still engage with the folks who have pre-recorded their presentations. There's a really cool comment function on the website, so you can give feedback and comments to the authors, and they get notified by email when you make a comment so that they know to get on the website and interact with you. So we're hoping that the sort of community building and discussion aspect of the conference remains, even though we're online this year.
Awesome. Well, it all sounds very exciting and what we're all used to nowadays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I think I'm really excited about Ripley Bennett and what they have to say. Do you want to give a brief background on them and what they're bringing to the conference?
Sure. Yeah. I'm the co-chair of the conference this year. I work really closely with Jordan Perry on campus, and Jordan is amazing and works so hard for this conference. I can't say enough amazing things about her. But one of the really exciting things for me this year personally is that I've been the point person for the keynotes, which means, you know, it's in this wild world, I have people like Ripley Bennett saved in my cell phone contacts and... And also Kay Barrett, who's our other keynote speaker. So that, you know, I feel a little like starstruck by our keynote speakers. But anyway, so Ripley, I think folks may know her best as being one of the Black Pride Four. So they're a group of folks who were arrested for disrupting a Pride Festival in Ohio a few years ago, 2017, I think. Ripley is also really an amazing artist. So if you follow her on social media, you can take a look at a lot of her art, which is incredible. She contributed to the edited volume that we produced through the conference this year or last year as well, which has been really, really amazing. So we are feeling extremely lucky to have Ripley joining us virtually. And folks can, on our website, you can see we are going to be like recording a lot of the sessions, and some of them will be available later, but we do encourage people to come live as much as they can. And if you want to catch Ripley's keynote, that is happening at noon on Saturday, the 27th.
Thanks for that. And just for a little bit of background, because not all of our listeners understand the difference between queer or LGBT or when it comes to queer activism. And Ripley is someone that, you know, I guess maybe a cis straight person out there might think, well, why in the world would you, as a queer activist, disrupt a pride festival? Can you give a little bit of understanding around that?
Sure. Yeah. One of the reasons that we thought of Ripley is that we thought that her work and activism was really related to the conference theme. So the theme is fitting in and sticking out, we're trying to think about queer invisibilities and what might be the downside to inclusion. And so there are a lot of ways to think about this, but in discussions about in figuring out what the theme might be, we talked a lot about recent organizing, for example, around same-sex marriage, and how a lot of social movements and organizing around, you know, what is talked about as being by and for LGBTQ people is often really focused primarily on, more specifically on gay and lesbian people, and pretty specifically on figuring out how we can get gay and lesbian people access to these cisgender and heterosexual institutions, like marriage, like the military, like parenting. And it is pretty whitewashed, right? So if we think about the vast majority of sort of well-known non-cis or non-heterosexual people, they're often cisgender, white, gays, and lesbians. And there's nothing wrong with that kind of visibility, but it is really selective. And it's often presented as, you know, these are the folks that represent the quote-unquote LGBTQ community,
right,
as though it's a monolith or as though there's like one way to do that. And so part of what this sort of action that the Black Pride 4 were engaged in at this Pride Festival was essentially to say, you know, we don't necessarily want this sort of like celebration of like rainbow capitalism Pride Festival, right? What we want is to talk about violence that's ongoing against particularly Black and brown queer and trans people, right? So rather than sort of like celebrating and lifting up and having this sort of like happy joy pride festival, not that that's not important, but that what we also need to be talking about is the ways that this isn't representing everyone, and the ways that engaging in these kinds of activities are often harming people, right? So the more that we think about the LGBTQ community as looking or being or behaving in a certain way or as desiring a certain thing, right? This sort of like homonormative vision for, you know, success in a sort of capitalist way, the more we think about that, the less we're aware of and thinking of the ways we might disrupt that, the folks who are trying to challenge that. So I think essentially inclusion in these existing institutions does nothing to change the sort of power structure and hierarchy that's baked into those institutions.
Yeah.
Right. So there has been a lot of push for for like disrupting those institutions rather than trying to like get a seat at the table. It's more like, why do we even have this table and why would I want to sit here? Right. What might be other ways for us to engage?
Right.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. It does. And well, certainly makes sense to me. I hope it does make sense to our listeners as well. I think it's really just about inclusion and like you said, not being invisible, just because you are slightly different than, again, what is propped up as the LGBT community. And I think think that's an important aspect of queer visibility, and I appreciate y'all bringing Bennett to the table.
Yeah, me too. I think it's really exciting, you know, and Pride festivals are often, you know, people who are not part of the LGBTQ community, and honestly, even people who are, Pride celebrations are sometimes people's only exposure to LGBTQ people or communities. And so it can be particularly harmful when those Pride festivals are very focused on white cisgender people. It sort of helps prop up this narrative that is the version of being LGBTQ.
Yeah. Yeah. And continuing on that theme, then you also invited poet Kay Barrett as a keynote as well. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Kay?
Yeah, Kay is fantastic. Kay is pretty well known, perhaps more well known to folks, or folks would recognize them from a lot of their poetry and talks and writing. They have given talks at pretty well known places and published in a lot of widely read places, you know, on BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, those kinds of things. I became aware, I think, of Kay from videos of them performing their poetry. And it is powerful. It's captivating and powerful. And I'm really excited that we get to bring them and have them be a part of this conference as well. So Kay had recently published a book of poetry right before our scheduled conference in 2020, and now since has another book that's about to come out right before the conference this year.
Nice.
Which is amazing. We get to sort of be some of the first folks to get that experience of this new book. It's called More Than Organs. And so I'm really, really excited about that. And what I like about the sort of combination of these two speakers, Kay's keynote, by the way, is happening on Friday at noon for people who want to catch that live on Zoom. But the combination of Kay and Ripley, I think, is really amazing, not just because we as a conference get to support two really rad, amazing, trans people of color, which is awesome, but also that we get to sort of highlight this connection between LGBTQ community and sort of scholarship and academia and the intersections with, queer and trans artists. The production of really amazing visual art and poetry. So that's kind of one of our focuses for the conference, is to bring together academics and, you know, just regular people, non-academics and activists and artists and people sort of from all walks of life. And I think that Kay and Ripley are a great example of this. These are, you know, two really amazing trans artists who are also activists, who are also smart and engaging in these really awesome conversations that we're trying to engage in the conference as well.
Yeah, I like that you put that, the academic and also just the everyday people as well. I think the first time that I went to the conference, I was intimidated to go to, I'm not a student and, I'm older and And I wasn't sure if I would feel welcome or included in the conference. And it was immediately, of course. And so I do appreciate the fact that you do have a level of academic intersectionality conversations, but also making it very accessible to just anybody who has an interest. So thanks for that.
That's wonderful to hear. I'm so glad that you came and felt welcome.
Yeah. So tell us more about the conference specifically, how people can learn more, get information, register, etc.
Sure. So we're virtual, so you can do all of the things online, which is great. The conference is free and open to everyone. We have a $20 suggested donation for folks who are able to contribute financially. But regardless of your ability to contribute financially, we want you to come to the conference. We hope that folks will engage with us. So you can register. There's an Eventbrite link. You can register online. Our conference is hosted. It's a company called Symposium. So we have our our normal conference website. We have a WordPress site. It's just queercon.wp.unca.edu, where you can get the links to all of this. But essentially, register on Eventbrite and then get on the website, explore the program, take a look at the presentations that we've got going on, and then you can watch some of them on your own time, the pre-recorded ones, and then some of them are live, and you can join us on Zoom to engage and be part of the discussion in real time.
Awesome. Sean, anything else you want to add before we let you go about the conference, maybe the things that you're most excited about?
Oh, goodness.
Or anything I forgot to ask you.
I'm like, I feel like there's no way I'm not missing something important. I don't know. I don't know. I think I just want to give a big shout out to all the folks on the organizing committee with me. We've all been working pretty hard in really unexpected and challenging circumstances. And so I'm really proud of the work that we have done, and I'm really excited for the sort of mix of pre-recorded and live sessions that we've got, and the mix of more traditionally like academic presentations as well as workshops, which should be really helpful for folks. We have a lot of folks reading their poetry. We have a lot of folks presenting their art. We have folks talking about academic-y things. We have folks doing workshops where you can sort of walk away with some, like, hands-on, like, take-home messages. So I think I'm just really excited about sort of the depth and breadth of presentations this year, and hope that everyone and anyone will join us.
Great. Well, thank you so much again for putting in the hard work for this conference, and also for sharing some time with us to talk about it.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for, helping us spread the word.
You bet.